This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, with a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers, family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Welcome. It is Thursday night, your family night of radio.
Family night of radio. It is family night because your kids are here.
Oh, they are. Yes, the kidlings are running around the studio at the same time. School holidays, you have to love it.
It's winter school holidays, though.
I know. There's not much you can really do.
No, there isn't. And I remember from when, you know, I was at home at torturing my parents. Winter school holiday. It's too cold to go outside and play.
Now, see, back home in America right now, they're in their summer holidays. Oh, but yeah. They got 3 whole months.
3 months.
Of summer holidays.
Oh.
June, July, and August. We're here. Thank God it's only 2 weeks.
And I have to admit, even when it's summer holidays for us... It's what? Kids finish school mid-December?
Yeah, mid-December.
And back in
Jan. So it's like a month and a half.
So, yeah, you get ripped off. But apparently if you pay for private school, they stay home more often.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, the more you pay, the more they stay at home. So I've been told by parents, they keep them in state schools.
And then you pay to put them into childcare. No, I'm happy with public.
But it is Thursday night here on Family Matters. We have an amazing interview coming up later tonight, which we'll tell you about in the next break.
Most definitely.
But it was Stand Up Straight's birthday, 4 years.
Oh, it is. I know, and there's so many things that they've covered over the past 4 years, and I've been on a guest on that show so many times, so many different. What's that?
I think all of us have been.
I think we all have.
some point, but. And that's what I love about Thursday nights. It does feel like family night.
Oh, and that's great. We blend between the different shows. And so you hear our different voices on the many different on the different shows that are on this station. So.
Yeah. So, look, happy birthday to our friends at Stand Up Straight. You did a great show tonight. You do a great show every week. We love sharing Thursday Night Grid with you. But, yeah, happiest birthday.
Oh, most definitely. Now, during the show, if you do want to reach out to us, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. If you feel like just following along with us on Twitter, because we are Twits.
We are.
Family Matters 94. Facebook, Family Matters on Joy. And, you know, well, if between the commercial breaks and we look up some of the old shows, you can look us up on joy.org.au/Family Matters.
And our podcast you can download from iTunes. I most recently loaded up last week's show, which was the Breast Scream Victoria show. So, highly recommend you check that out.
I was jealous I was not part of that show last week.
Well, if you listen to that, you'll find out an event that is coming up. But until then, we've got a little song to play for you all. Only the horses.
Welcome back to Family Matters.
That cute voice.
Oh, I love it. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me either. I got a cold. I don't sound that cute, I can assure you.
Oh, God.
That was your little munchkin, because it is school holidays, isn't it, Michelle?
Most definitely. And the best part about being in a community radio station like this is, you know, you bring the kids to work with you. And then they end up hosting the show.
You are listening here to Family Matters. We are your lighthearted look at parenting and rainbow families here at Joy 94.9. We've had an amazing good news story this week. So a couple of weeks ago, we were fortunate to speak with Jack Tomlins, who came in to talk to us about a novel she's written called The Curse of Grandma Maple. But she came in to tell us about not only the book, but she had a possible campaign. She was self-publishing this book. She needed to hit a target really quickly. What happened during the week, Mama Mish?
Well, I'm telling you now, I contributed, so yep. I'm waiting for my
Same.
Copy.
Yep.
So during the week, she has reached her goal
yep.
of that will allow her to actually now publish the book yep. and actually have it illustrated and everything. And
pay for those illustrators and editors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're all very excited. Congratulations, Jax. And we'll have her back in soon to go and discuss it as well.
I can't wait to read it.
I can't either. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I know my girls will love it too, because they're actually in the age range for this book.
Exactly. So the book, The Curse of Grandma Maple, hopefully will be on shelves soon. I assume it still needs to get printed and just polished up and finished. But Jax did touch base with us and wanted to say thank you. She had, last time I checked, there was 188 supporters of that possible campaign. It was a really quick campaign, but it just shows the community does help each other out when you kind of reach out. And we've had so much support from Jax and the written work she's done for Rainbow Families that costs us nothing. So it was great to see people get behind her and put out there a book for ages 8 to 12.
But it's also, you know, projects like this are so amazing because they actually show representation of the community and the readers themselves can see themselves. So like my daughters can actually read a book and see a story that's got two moms in it. It's not about the two moms,
exactly.
But you know, they can see representation because they have two parents who are female.
And that's what I love about this book. It's not about having two moms. It's just these kids on a wild adventure just happen to have two moms.
Exactly. Amazing.
Amazing. You know,
how hard is that?
I know. So well done, Jax, and well done to everyone who got behind that campaign. Now, something else new that is coming up is a new podcast here at Joy.
Yes.
Mama Mish, you want to fill us in on that?
Well, 4 years ago when I came in and I had come out and I come in here as a guest to tell my story because I had such a unique approach to transition.
You kind of do.
I kind of do.
Anyway.
And my attitude is different and just the way I've done stuff. And since then, you know, everything from public speaking to doing education in workplaces and schools and everything, it's been an amazing adventure so far. And in that time, I was running as a co-host on a show called Transpositions. Well, the studio was talking to me about they said, look, you know, the show is, even though we've rested it, actually this week, last year, we rested. So it's 1 year now. And they said, look, you know, the show is still getting amazing downloads. It's still one
it
of our top downloads. Yeah. And they said, look, what we want you to do is we want you to bring back a trans show. And I said, you know something? I said, look, Transpositions is what it was. And I said, I want to go back and revisit a lot of the people, but I want to keep it as something on its own, a bit separate.
Mm.
And so what I'm launching is a Trans Point of View or Trans POV. So I'm going to go and really focus on stories as much as I can. But the thing is we need to focus on not just trans voices and trans stories, but we also want to listen to some cis stories and cis voices that are involved in, say, different bits of gender. Like for right now, I'm running a series that I'm doing and getting ready to launch around dating, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go and talk to people who are bi, who are cis, who are dealing with trans and looking into dating trans people, but not as a fetish or anything like that, but actually, you know, delving deep in the relationship stuff. And, you know, I'm reaching out to a couple who's in Tennessee or in America. I've got, I want to explore the world of drag and understand a bit more about that with gender as well and how that relates to trans, talk about the things that trans people struggle with it, even cis women. So really kind of diving a bit deeper into the whole gender thing from trans POV. So, you know, at this stage, if anybody has any stories they want to share,
how can they get in touch?
They can get me on Twitter, Trans POV. You can get on Facebook, Trans POV on Joy. You can get, you can email me, transpov@joy.org.au, and share your stories. Come out, connect with me. If you still, you know, if you didn't get all that, you can get, you know, reach out to us here on Family Matters.
Exactly, and we'll pass it on because Mama Mish, you know, we love promoting all the other shows here. You know, we're all volunteers. We're all here. We're all family here at Joy 94.9. So if you want to reach out to Trans POV or there is another show that you want to reach out to and you just happen to do it through us, we're happy to pass on the message.
But the other thing as well is there isn't a lot of even transgender education throughout the wider, say, LGBT community. So if you're going into like the gay community, there's still a lack of education there, even the lesbian community. And so I'm going to try bringing in different voices from around the studio as well as guest hosts, as well as just trying to spread the love a bit more. And you know, I love talking family things here, but there's still so many things that are important to the trans community or just people talking gender in general that need have answered.
And talking about beautiful stories, we were so lucky, Mama Mish. A couple of weekends ago, we had the opportunity. We actually mentioned Tristan and Biff's story on air as a good news story that we'd seen really positive, body positive trans story. And we were super excited because we got in touch with Tristan and Biff to ask for an interview. And we got to speak to them in Portland, Oregon.
We did.
So we are playing that episode tonight. And Tristan stole my heart. Absolutely.
What's so amazing about that, though, is you always hear so many stories from trans people around extreme dysphoria of body image and things like that. And for this here, you know, a trans man who's gone off testosterone, who's after 15 years, is having a baby.
37 weeks pregnant.
37 weeks pregnant. And
to add to that, in the peak of summer in Portland, Oregon. Like, we're talking about winter, peak of summer
But he's going about, you know, being very body image positive. He's you know, going through the whole rushes of hormones, everything that have come back. And he's laughing about it and he's loving it. Beautiful. And I'm so excited to share this story.
We were really blessed to have this interview. So coming up very, very soon, you're going to be listening to our interview with the wonderful Tristan, telling us what it's like to be a trans man who is 37 weeks pregnant.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
Now, one of the things I'd love to actually dig into is to paint a picture for our listeners a bit more about you, your partner, and your family. And so yourself, you're a trans man.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So I was born female. I lived the first 20 years of my life presenting to the world as any other sort of boyish, but certainly a girl. And then when I was about 20 is when I realized that there was a word for this thing that I had always felt was sort of different about me, and I was able to actually pursue transition. Yeah, so that's me.
How old are you now, Tristan?
I'm 34.
34. So you've transitioned, if I do the math, and I'm terrible at math, 14 years, would we say?
Yeah, and I only transitioned using hormones. Mm-hmm. So I didn't take any surgical steps to change my sex. I just took testosterone, and that was always, you know, that always made me feel pretty comfortable. It was a long journey towards accepting my body the way that it is.
That's something I understand as well, because I'm very similar myself.
Yeah, and I think remembering that there's no one way to be trans or to transition, and it doesn't make any of us more or less trans.
Now, your partner, is your partner's not trans, or how does your partner identify?
Correct. Yeah, he's just a normal gay dude. I mean, I think he's special, but, you know, in terms of identity.
if you got to deal with vanilla,
he's
then.
Not trans. Yeah, so he's just a normal gay dude. Was never with anybody trans before me, was never with anybody who was assigned female at birth before we started dating. And yeah, so it was a learning and growing period for him as well. And he certainly never thought he could have a biological child. That was not something at all that was in the mix for him until I presented it just a couple of years ago. And it felt like it came out of the blue for him, but I'd been contemplating it for quite some time.
How long have you two been together?
7 years.
And the story I always like to ask is, how did you meet? Like, can we get the romance story? Come on, it has to be cute.
Sure. we actually met through friends, which is funny because that was always the euphemism that I used for on the internet.
But I think a lot of people still do.
We did not meet on the internet. We actually did meet through friends. I had these friends who were a couple, and they were actually a gender queer couple, so they're sort of in the trans community. And when I went, I actually saw him from across the street, but we were both headed for the same location. And I saw him from across the street, and he was just the most beautiful, beautiful person I'd ever seen. And I just, you know, was totally blown away. And yeah, and it was clear we were going to the same place, and I was sort of like, oh, are you, is that where you're going to? And he said, yeah. And so we kind of rang the doorbell together, and I tried my best to flirt with him and to impress him. And he was not responding at all, and I could not figure out, what am I doing wrong, you know? And then I actually went to the bathroom to wash my hands for this brunch, and I looked in the mirror and realized that I had spinach in my, covering up one of my teeth.
Oh,
even better.
Mm-hmm.
So you picked that out really quickly.
I picked it out really quickly. It was so awful. I even called my best friend, and I said, I met the man, I met the person, and I had stuff in my teeth. And she said, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. And we sort of thought that was it, because it's really difficult. You know what I mean? It's difficult to take someone seriously if there's, you know, something in their teeth. So I kind of thought I'd lost the opportunity. But, you know, I just sort of added him on Facebook, and he ran a queer men's social group in L.A., so I started going to that and just sort of getting to know him a little bit better. And there we developed a bit of a flirtation early on. And at one point he actually told me he had a boyfriend. And so he respectfully requested that I please stop flirting with him because he owed it to that relationship to let it play its course. And for me, being like a 20-something, you know, gay man in Los Angeles, to have another 20-something gay man say, please don't flirt with me, I'm in a relationship, was, I mean, that was like the sexiest thing anybody could have ever done.
Totally.
Like, that is the height of integrity.
It's like you followed up and said, oh, I'm going to marry that man. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's who you want to marry, you know, because the person who doesn't cheat on their partner is the person who's not going to cheat on you. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? But I was like, whoa, this is a class act right here.
So what was the response by, say, family and friends? Well, I guess maybe to even paint that picture is when you did come out as trans, the response of family and friends. Mm. But then all of a sudden, here you are married with this man and you're having children with this man. Like, how does that response come?
Well, I mean, I came out as trans a long time ago, and it really was. I mean, I'm sure you know, Michelle, like the world has changed so fast around mm-hmm. trans issues. So even 14, 15 years ago when I was coming out, I mean, my parents thought and I thought that if I transitioned, I was never going to have a family. I was never going to have kids. I was not going to find somebody who would love me. And so it was very hard on my parents, especially. They are very caring, compassionate, loving people. And they were profoundly concerned that I was choosing a life of solitude mm-hmm. and even danger. They were really worried that something bad what happened to me. So mostly that was their journey, was coming to see that the world was changing and that I could have family and friends and a community around me. And I think when Biff and I first met and it became clear that not only was he a class act, but he was a class act who was going to continue to show that same kind of integrity through our whole relationship, he was going to be loving and kind to me. I think, you know, that really changed my parents' perspective and opened them up to this idea that, okay, their kid is trans and that's not actually like a death sentence for me. Literally, that's what they were worried about. You know, that was really good.
I remember coming out to my mum when I was 16 and I'm 40 now as a lesbian. Mm. But her biggest concern was, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children
yeah.
and nobody's going to take care mm-hmm. of me. So her worry was, you're going to yeah. be alone. You're not going to fall in love. But then she saw a positive and she thought, oh, maybe you can take care of me for the rest of my life, which I set her straight really quickly. And that's the thing. Times have changed. And now she's the person nagging me going, when are you going to hurry up and get married to your girlfriend? When are you going to hurry up and get and have children? Because that was never – those times were so different for so many of us for so many reasons. But, yeah, times have changed yeah. and opportunities have, you know, kind of – open themselves up that we can have, you know, everything we deserve and more.
Well, and the same thing with the trans community that, you know, and you always see, it's very common that most of us, once we come out, the chance of finding a partner is pretty slim and we do have that issues with solitude. And when going through this, how have you felt when it comes to dealing with your identity and your masculinity and things like that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I look at my dad, and, you know, my parents are Canadian, and my dad didn't ever play rugby or hockey. He's just not that kind of man. He's a doctor. He reads. He's very dorky. But that no one ever said that makes him less of a man. You know what I mean? There are millions of ways to be a man. And I think for me, part of the gift of being trans is some of the limitations that are usually put on masculinity and femininity have kind of already been expanded for me. I'm already a man who was not born male, who has this body that's different. And so for me, it didn't actually feel like that much of a stretch to embrace the fact that, look, by some fluke, I happen to have been born into a body that has a uterus. And between my partner and I, we have everything we need to expand our family on our own terms in our own way. So just as, you know, my dad is not seen as less of a man because he doesn't play rugby, I don't really think of myself as less of a man because I happen to be able to get pregnant and carry a baby. If there's a million ways to be a man, well, there should be a million ways to be trans as well. And while lots of men do play rugby and hockey and lots don't, lots of transgender men would never want to use their uterus for this and are like, get it the hell out of my body. But some of us don't actually think that it's the worst thing in the world to have been born with a body that happens to be configured slightly differently than, you know, our non-trans counterparts.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
So you've had the conversation where you've both said, okay, let's start this family journey. Now, I assume that was a few years ago from what you said earlier. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the truth is we had already been on our family journey for many years. We have two adopted children. Mm. Just as your mom sort of thought, oh, great, you can step up and care for me. You know, LGBT people have been stepping up for the straight people in our lives for a millennia.
Hell yeah.
And that's how Biff and I first ended up becoming parents. His little sister, who was a teen mom, found herself unable to care for her two small children. And about a year into our relationship, we got a phone call from social services saying, someone needs to take these kids. No one else is able to do it except for you guys. If you can take them, then, you know, we'll sign them over to you. If not, they'll go into the foster care system and will probably be separated and adopted out away from family, and you may never see them again. Mm. We decided, of course, that we would take them, even though we were in our 20s.
How old were, because it's two girls. How old were
overnight.
The girls?
Oh, one boy, one girl, and they were one and three.
Wow, so young.
One and three.
One and three. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Diapers.
Oh. Sleepless nights, diapers, and everything that goes with that.
That's right. And
instant family.
And they had been, yeah, instant family, that's right. And they had been in a very difficult situation that they had been living in. So they had the normal kid things of sleepless nights and diapers, and then they had a host of other, yeah, both physical and emotional and developmental issues that came with having been in a situation that was abusive. So yeah, we had really, you know, we had really begun that journey already. We had become parents to them, and there was a long legal process through which we had to show that we were going to be good parents, if they were supported, etc. And so I wasn't sort of springing it on him out of nowhere. We were already parents, but, you know, they had gotten to this point where they were a little older, a little more independent. And, you know, I sort of had a vision for growing our family and expanding this circle of love that we had. And I know quite a few transgender men who have carried children post-transition. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was something that was possible. And like a lot of people, I had this person that I just completely adore and would love to make a life with. That's a little bit of me and a little bit of him. And that is, you know, a little bit something brand new. And that, you know, seemed like something that I wanted to do. And I did a lot of research to make sure I could do it, yeah, medically in a healthy way. And then I broached the topic with him.
So 14 years being on testosterone, like, How long did you actually have to go off of medication to start this? Like,
was the advice?
Yeah. Well, did you have to go do counseling for this, or what was the story?
Yeah. Well, there's no psychological process necessary at all in terms of, you know, requiring counseling. But I did go to a medical doctor, and I did do quite a bit of research. And all of the medical literature seems to indicate that, as with any hormonal birth control, you stop it or you wean yourself down, and you give it 3 to 6 months so you start to have normal cycles. And, you know, my body really did just kick back into gear, and, and all the systems started working the way they used to. Bodies are extremely resilient, and there actually isn't any medical proof or evidence to suggest that the reproductive system is in any way permanently affected by even very, very prolonged testosterone use, which is just not what we thought in the 80s and 90s. But that's what the science is showing us today.
That's amazing. Like, you know, what they go through, you know, that you can just stop that and your body just picks back up. See, Gina, if you just stopped being a man or manly, you could just easily have a baby.
there's a constant joke between Michelle and I, because we all often get a coffee or dinner before the show. And Michelle, who is, 7 foot tall almost, and me, okay, I'm a little bit short, and I'm very butch expression and very proud of that, but I'm the one who often gets misgendered at the local shops. But I think it's kind of cool. I don't care. I'm quite, you know, I'm like, hey, if I can rock that, I'm quite happy. I did want to ask, though, because we've had a transfertility specialist come in and said exactly that. It's sometimes if surgery hasn't gone ahead, it's sometimes as easy as coming off the medication, coming off testosterone. And for them, they've always suggested that, you know, the person is always checking in with a counselor because of the way the body can back into gear. How was it when you were, when your body, during that period when you came off, I assume it was testosterone, the changes you were feeling again in your body, how did they feel to, you know, 14 years later to be going through that again?
Yeah. You know, the parts that I most valued that testosterone gave me, which is my luscious full beard, didn't change at all.
Wow.
So I appreciated that. As you can hear, because this is radio, I do not have a particularly manly voice.
No, you do.
But it's at least passing enough.
Yeah.
So, the average person, my coworkers, you know, my boss, the team of people that I manage and supervise, nobody could tell anything different. Mm. It was really just an experience that I was having on my own. And, you know, I just kind of geeked out on the science of it.
Awesome.
I really tried to separate it from, oh, this is a thing that a woman would go through. Mm. And I really just thought, oh, this is my body getting ready for this next stage in my life, which amazing. Hopefully will involve being able to carry a child. So it wasn't fun, and mostly the mood swings were very difficult. You know, I try really hard to be a good, supportive, loving, patient partner and parent, and it was very hard to do that. When all of a sudden, you know, there were those highs and lows again, which I haven't had in a very long time.
I go through a bit of that now myself. I'm like, one minute I'm just happy doing whatever. The next, it's like, I just want to bite somebody. You know, it's just, it's really crazy. Now, I you know, I always
It's shocking.
Yeah. I always picture, it is mean. I always picture, you know, like when, you know, a mom is with her daughter and they're going, you know, she's dealing with the pregnancy and then they're helping and mom's helping the nesting and things like that. And, you know, a bit of the shopping, you know, but pretty much the traditional, everyone sort of pictures in their mind what's going on. So I'm in my mind, I'm having this interesting how this conversation would go, how the interaction would be with, like, say, your mom, you being pregnant and being a man, and or even your dad, and how has that been? Like, you paint us a picture of that.
I mean, the funny thing is that my mom is just not a sentimental person. So it's much more my mother-in-law. It's Biff's mom. And she will come over and she'll want to rub my feet and rub my back. I mean, she wants to, like, touch my belly. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, there's the hip. Oh, there's
Love
the little
it.
Feet.
That's gorgeous.
Oh. I mean, she's it is just like the total stereotypical thing. It just so happens that I am a man that is going through the experience. And Biff is actually much more artistic and home-centered than I am. So he's been the one that's done the whole nursery, decorating the, you know, decorating everything and setting everything up. So as with most queer couples, we kind of, we figure out our own roles and our own rules. And while my mom is not at all interested in, you know, the sentimentality of it, my dad totally is. So when they come down from Canada, you know, my dad wants to hear all about what kind of dreams am I having and what that could portend for our future child. And, you know, my mom is like, okay, well, let's sit down and look at your budget so we can make sure that you guys are going to be on track here.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So as with most LGBT families and couples, we just do it our own way. And our, you know, our kids are loved and healthy and happy. And so is the little bun in the oven.
Can I ask, though, how far along
are
you?
And we talk about it. 37 weeks.
37 weeks?
37 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm 3 weeks away from my due date. I'm gigantic.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. And are you getting nervous? Are you fine? Have you packed the bag?
Yes, the bag is packed. We went to the birthing class to figure out how to do all of this stuff because there is so much to know about.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit in denial still about the actual labor process.
Wow.
But, you know, it's how we all got here.
That's right.
So I assume that I will figure it out with, along with the help of modern medicine.
Yeah, I go medicine. So.
Now, I've been through this twice. Not personally, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And, you know, you're standing there with your partner and they're, you know, going through labor, and you hear many noises of other people.
They're screams, aren't they?
They're screams and moans. So I'm all of a sudden having this moment of going, I can only imagine that the responses people are going to get to hear a man's voice going, "Oh!" in the other room, because they're going to think like, I can only imagine what people are thinking in the other room.
Yep. There have been many instances when I think us being in a sort of pregnancy space has been eye-opening for people. So, like, I go to prenatal yoga, it's all women and me. We went to the birthing class, it's all straight couples and us. And, you know, sometimes I feel obligated to give a whole explanation of how it is that I am a pregnant man. And other times I just don't have the capacity.
No, you know, just I'm want to be like, to somebody rub my feet and teach me how to breathe and leave me alone. God.
That's right. I just came to do Downward Dog.
Exactly.
I didn't come to teach a whole class.
We've been really lucky here in Australia. I mean, lucky. Here we are in 2017, and we've only just started seeing prenatal classes specifically for LGBT people here in Australia. They've been, what, two classes in Sydney, one in Melbourne, because the midwives running these classes have said there's a need and it's not fair for the individuals to be sort of separated on these gender lines. What? Is really not suitable. So it's fantastic to see, you know, LGBT prenatal classes and that deal with gay dads as well that are going through surrogacy. So we see that as a blessing and we want to see that expanded. Is there any services like that?
Well, this was not an LGBT birthing class. This was literally all straight couples and us. No, I was just going to say that's how this whole process has been. We are in such a minority. Mm. And the healthcare system is quite different here, I imagine, to what it is in Australia. Mm. So we just have to go to whatever class our insurance covers, and we go to whatever hospital our insurance tells us to go to. So we couldn't even make the choice to go to an LGBT-specific one, we would have to pay the hundreds of dollars out of pocket, and that we wouldn't be able to do that.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
What I wanted to ask, it's probably me as somebody who is very butch expressive, kind of thinking, oh, my God, if I was to ever be pregnant, what on earth would I wear? How have you gone in that kind of, in that space?
Yeah, I mean, it was easy for the first several months because it was really cold here.
Yeah.
So I could just wear a lot of layers. And honestly, most men's clothes are a little bit longer. You know, most men's shirts are a little bit longer. The sweaters are a little bit longer. So I just wore, you know, pants that are joggers, basically. So they are elastic in the waist, but they look like slacks to work. So that's what I would wear. It's just, you know, nice looking pants, but that were elastic in the waist.
Yeah.
And then a longer cardigan to cover the fact that it's an elastic waist, so it doesn't look like I'm wearing sweatpants to work every day.
Yeah, but at 37
weeks.
But
it has gotten more difficult.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, and it's 90 degrees out right now.
Ooh.
So I'm just like long tank tops and, you know, elastic band shorts is pretty much what I'm wearing. Actually, Biff has always been a little chubbier than I am. And so about a month ago, we met in the middle because he's been working on losing weight a little bit through the pregnancy. He's trying to get into shape for the baby and everything. So we met in the middle about a month ago, and now he's wearing my old clothes and I'm wearing his old clothes. So we've kind of switched wardrobes a little bit.
Tristan, you're so lesbian. Can I just say that is such a lesbian thing to do?
I think most gay male couples I know share their wardrobe. That's one of the best things about being gay is double wardrobe.
Oh, you're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, I guess one of the important questions is for someone else in a beautiful relationship like you are, wanting to go on this path. So far, I mean, you're 37 weeks, you haven't gone through the birth yet, but what are some of the best tips you would give to another individual thinking of starting this process?
I mean, a couple of things. One is to really understand that you are embarking on a fairly unique journey. Mm. So I think, unfortunately, what happens for a lot of queer people is that we get so used to being in our bubbles that when we venture out and someone says or does the wrong thing, because they're not LGBT, mm-hmm. they're not around us all the time, that can feel extremely offensive to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to be this dynamic where we expect people to know everything ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't and they mess up a little bit, we take that as an offense and it creates this sort of vicious cycle. So understanding that the whole pregnancy world is set up for women and straight people. So it is not going to be catered to you.
Mm.
And you are going to have to manage your energy. How much energy do you have to challenge the language on every form?
Mm.
The words that the birthing coach uses, the fact that every picture in the hospital brochure is of straight people. Do you have the energy to challenge that? Or can you approach the situation with a little bit of grace, a little bit of forgiveness, acknowledge that you're kind of crashing their party? You know what I mean? Things have been a certain way for a long time in our culture. We are the ones that are venturing forward and encouraging an evolution, and we just have to be patient because not every doctor is going to know the right words to use. It may be surprising to even the most, you know, progressive person. And in order to keep yourself safe and have the energy you need for your relationship, to get ready for a baby, to be healthy, you may just have to have some expectations that are not super high for how people are going to be able to adjust to this sort of new reality you're presenting them. Does that make sense?
Total sense. That's absolutely beautiful. And I think that's the thing. Some people, I think their intent and their curiosity and just they're just wanting to make conversation sometimes will – you know, open a dialogue where they're curious. They are so curious. And it is exhausting to, if you think you have to go to battle each time. And like you said, each form, each doctor, each, you know, picture that's out there, I think is the self care thing is probably the most important thing, to put yourself and your needs ahead of everything else. Because if you're out there to battle it, you're going to lose. In this time, we're almost there. We're not there yet. I think that, I think you're absolutely spot on there, Tristan.
Yeah, and to see it that way, that you're taking care of yourself, you're managing your energy and investment, and then find that ally.
Mm.
Like for me, you know, in any administrative situation, whether you're getting your name changed or you're trying to get into a women's spa where, you know, you as a butch woman, they may not think that you belong there. We're queer people. We know how to find that friendly person. Find that person and then send them to work.
Mm.
You know, say, pull that person aside and say, so listen, I have to tell you, all of your forms say mother and father. Is that something that you guys would be able to tackle in the next year?
Is parents?
Hey, I'm going to go to the birthing class.
Parents one and parents, you know, sound like B1 and B2.
Yeah. Well, whatever. But find that ally. Allies want to stand up for us. Mm. They want to do the right thing. You don't want to have to do all the work. Mm. Put them to work, and they're usually happy to do it. They feel excited that they've been given a task. And then you don't have to do it all on your own. So that's a big thing. And that's, I think, my second piece of advice is just, you know, find your community. You're going to have your own philosophy around pregnancy, labor and birth, and then parenting. Kind of do some research, figure out what that is, and then go towards those people so that when you have questions and need support, you can get it without a lot of guilt and shame. Because whether you are an LGBT person who is pregnant or not, I don't know how it is in Australia, but here in the U.S., there are lots of very strong opinions that people have that they would like to tell you all about. And they want to make you feel all kinds of ways for whatever choices you're making. So you should have thought about that ahead of time.
Yeah. We're very fortunate that we have some amazing allies that have done such great work in this space that have made the path forward for so many rainbow families in all their capacities so much easier. We're not, and as we've said, we're not there yet. But we are getting there, and we're not there yet, but my goodness, we are getting there, and I'm so thankful for some of the people that have done that. And Tristan, yourself and Biff, my goodness, the example you two are setting in having taken care of two beautiful children and now starting on this next chapter of your lives, I can't wait to hear how it...
And I love seeing the photos on your Our Story blog site and seeing how happy the two of you are, seeing the children, seeing just... You know, you as a family, it's what you're doing is setting such an amazing example. And look,
by being yourselves.
Exactly. And I know how tiring this can be. You know, when you're going places and people constantly wanting to ask questions and you've got to, okay, well, yes, this is what I went through. This is who I am now. That's who I was. And just know that when it gets to be that next moment of going, okay, I'm tired of this, just know what you're actually doing. And that'll get you through it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. It is, you know, the pictures look great. And, you know, we have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. So there's definitely skinned knees and bickering in the back of the car for God knows what reason. And why did you put the empty box of Cheez-Its back on the cabinet counter instead of putting it in the recycling? You know, like we're just like all those normal family things on top of now this sort of new story that we're telling the world. So we're working hard to balance it all.
I think it's fantastic. And that's the thing. There is bravery in coming out and telling your story. And we are so thankful, one, to have had you on our show today to sort of tell your story. But also, you know, by just putting that positive story out there, you are, and being yourselves, not, you know, having to do anything different, just being yourselves. It's so inspiring, I think, for so many people to go, this is an option for me. Something I thought I couldn't have, I can. And I think that in itself is so inspiring. So we think you're absolutely tremendous. 37 weeks, my goodness. I'm nervous for you now. I'm always nervous for all your parents going in, but I think you're going to have an amazing support partner there in Biff beside you. So what's the due date?
July 14th.
It's like there.
It really is. I mean, he really could come anytime.
Really though, from a trans perspective, while you're going through this and seeing your body doing what it's doing and you know, everything would be changing right now. Cause I remember sitting with my ex and also with my best girlfriend recently through this. How is this affecting you with like dysphoria and things like that?
You know, I think it's just like my cycle coming back. I've just tried to geek out on the science of it. Just like, aren't bodies cool? Like I'm growing a person. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I don't really see it as something that's, you know, going back or untransitioning or anything. It's just moving forward and this cool thing my body can do. And what gay couple wouldn't like to be able to make their own kid without having other people engaged and involved all of the time. You know, we get to do it in a way. We've sort of like hacked the system a little bit. and I just think that's cool.
But that's But that's one of the things I do as well. Looking, and there was a, you know, I think that's an important question for people to hear that, because so many of us actually go through and struggle with that, with those identity things. And I'm the same way. I geek out on the science of all of it. And, you know, being 6'3", you know, I just do hormones. I'm not interested in surgery, things like that. And, you know, I develop the way I develop, and that's my body, and that's who I am. And that's even a message I try to give my daughters, that, you know, I don't want them to look at me and going, well, I'm not pretty like my daddy because I didn't have surgeries like she did. And they, and then, you know, those are the kind of things that I'm really big on. And so to hear that back from yourself while going through this is just absolutely, it puts a massive smile on my face.
Well, good. And it didn't, you know, it didn't come easily. I spent a lot of years, especially being a gay trans man, living sort of in the gay male world and having to navigate that, not having a stereotypically male body. You know, it was a hard, fought fight for me to get to this place where I feel really excited about what my body is capable of doing. I feel really happy with what I've got. There were a lot of years where that was not true and where, you know, I did some really stupid things trying to get people to like me more. And, you know, I'm done with that. Those days are over. I'm not going to be the miserable trans person just because it makes people feel more comfortable with me. You know what I mean? We deserve to be happy just like everyone else.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
We will let you go because we know you've got two little ones somewhere there in the background, probably running under sprinklers in this, in the heat of your summer. We're all rugged up.
It is so hot.
And we wish you so much luck with the next couple of weeks.
Oh, please keep us posted.
Yeah,
please.
Well, I'm sure
so
you.
So we can share the, you know,
we will keep
story.
On. We'll keep on your blog. I assume that's where you'll keep the audience posted. You don't have to call us to say, okay, we're in labor now. No, you don't have to do that.
Oh, no. He's wanted to like video stream the labor, and I'm like, no.
Biff, can I just put that out? No.
It's
like the typical dad with the camera.
When he comes, we'll post pictures after he comes. Yeah.
Tell him, Biff, I can't do it. I'll have spinach in my teeth. You cannot post, you
That's
know, just
right.
put some spinach in your front, you know, and he won't use it.
Oh, my
good
God.
It has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Tristan. Good luck with the next couple of weeks and the next beautiful chapter of your
Thank
lives.
You.
Listening to your story.
Well, thanks for having
amazing.
Me on.
Our cool. pleasure.
Our pleasure, most definitely. All right, Tristan, you have a great day, and we will talk to you soon. You have been listening to Family Matters, and we hope you did enjoy our interview with Tristan, who is a trans man who is 37 weeks pregnant, calling in from Portland, Oregon. Now, if you missed tonight's show, you can catch it on our podcast on joy.org.au/Family Matters, or you can tune into our iTunes feed on the podcast show there, and you should see it sometime this weekend. If you do want to reach out to us during the week, we are Twits. You can get us on Family Matters 94. You can also get us on Facebook, Family Matters on Joy. Gina, thank you tonight. It
thank
has
you.
Been fun.
Thank you, Mama Mesh. I've had a lot of fun. It's up next, our
woof,
favorite
woof.
Boys.
Woof woof.
Woof woof girl. Have a lovely night, everyone. Good night.
Family Matters, brought to you by Joy sponsor, Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. NicholsLaw.com.au.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, with a light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.